What a magnificent story. I mean, really, can you just imagine what it must have looked like to be a witness to the power of the Holy Spirit upon the people gathered that day of Pentecost? Luke tells us that divided tongues, such as fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them, and they were able to understand other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. I always wonder why God used a tongue to mark the dwelling of the Holy Spirit upon his people. Tongues aren't beautiful or particularly of interest to any of us. Well, maybe if you're a fan of the rock group Kiss, remember that band, yeah? Most often, though, parents are telling their children to stop sticking out their tongues, and most people turn their nose up at the thought of being served such a delicacy as tongue. It's not even a symbol that the church in general has used to spur God's people to more active service in the church. Flames of fire, a descending dove, a baptismal font, or a nativity evoke appropriate images in the church, but never the image of a tongue. Well, the reality, though, is that the tongue is a very useful tool in our lives. It helps us to eat and enjoy food. It allows us to speak words of hate or love to others around us. And, well, I suppose sticking out your tongue does send a certain message. I like to think that the images of tongues on Pentecost is a reminder from God that God still speaks to the people of God. And God will give the power to proclaim to God's children. If the believers of Jesus Christ need any assurance, it was this day. It had been 50 days since Jesus was resurrected, and not long ago, many of them watched Jesus ascend to heaven, reminding them that for now, Jesus was gone. And so the last 50 days have been stressful, emotional, and all new to these believers. Now more than ever, they needed God's encouragement. And God offers more than just encouragement. God offers another promise. The promise God offers is to gift the church with an identity and an authority centered in the proclamation of the gospel. Which is why the day of Pentecost is sometimes called the birthday of the church, reminding each of us that the Holy Spirit dramatically establishes a fellowship of faith, calling believers to be witnesses to what God has done in Jesus Christ for the purpose of salvation. And so it is our birthday. We are reborn through the Spirit and given the gifts of the Spirit to continue witnessing to God's people. For us this day, Pentecost is the present reality of Christ in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And we remember the birth of Jesus Christ. We've heard that story, we know it, but we did not experience it firsthand. We remember Christ's death and resurrection, but we did not experience that firsthand. But Pentecost is not something that we remember. We experience Pentecost every single time we feel the Spirit working in our lives and through this church. It's the ongoing action of God in our world today. And it's this ongoing action that gives us permission to proclaim the gospel with authority. God gifts us with an identity as God's very own, equipped to tell others about Jesus. Pentecost reminds us not to limit God's power to enable us to share God's news. Now the Spirit is the presence of the risen Christ throughout the world, and we get to tell others about the work of the Spirit. And to me, that is the amazing part of this story. That we serve a God who continues to speak to his beloved children. Of course, it is in new ways, We no longer have a burning bush revealed to us or the life of Jesus Christ living among us, but God never fails to speak to his children. And when God speaks, it is filled with energy and enthusiasm. The story of Pentecost reminds us that God still speaks to us in our very own language and that the gospel is intended for everyone. Repentance and forgiveness are offered to all who call on the name of the Lord. Something new and surprising is afoot when God speaks to God's people. Not only does God offer encouragement and a promise on the day of Pentecost, but God offers the people of God a new identity. Pentecost has something to say to individuals who do not feel that belonging to the body of Christ is necessary for personal Christian discipleship. And yet, from the very beginning, Christ calls individuals into community as a church, which means that today is an appropriate time to reaffirm our participation as disciples in the body of Christ, to recommit to live into God's promises and participate together in being the body of Christ in a world we know is broken. Every year on Pentecost, in the calendar year of the church, we are reminded who we are as a church. We are reminded about what we proclaim and the source of that proclamation. The church is gifted with an identity to continue to bear witness together the power of God's love. Regardless of what we might think, the church was not created to be a social club, a nonprofit organization, or a place for business referrals. Church was not created to meet our personal tastes for worship. Church was created to proclaim the gospel. The work of the church is for members to listen together where the Spirit is leading them to serve and love God's people. And so our identity as Lewistown Presbyterian Church is not defined by the number of people in worship or the amount of money that we may hold in our endowments. No, our identity has been established through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit upon our individual and collective hearts. In our worship service today, the baptisms of Max and Fitz and London, well, is the best illustration to my sermon today. A few minutes ago, during their baptism, we were reminded once again that our identity has nothing to do with us and has all to do with God. Before we can claim God as our own, God claims us, even when we are as helpless as a child. And Fitz and London and Max, like we have, will grow up learning what their identity is. And that identity will often change. They will be a child, a teenager, a young adult, an adult someday. For years, they will be students. Maybe one of them will be a musician or an artist, maybe an athlete. We don't know what God has in store for these precious children, but we do know this, that London and Fitz and Max are children of God, and that truth will never, ever change. That is the identity that remains secure no matter what they might decide to become or do. And as I said, we too made a covenant with the parents. Derek and Katie and Brooke and Kyle, they will need people around them that can remind them that their children are children of God because, well, there are some crazy days, right, with young kids? We remember that for those who don't have young kids in the home. And a few moments ago, their parents made a promise before God and each of us to do their very best to raise their children in the church. They promised to include Max and Fitz and London in the life of God's church. They made a covenant to commit to embracing the joy and challenges, the work and rewards of engaging in a church community filled with broken individuals. A church like this. For Max, it will be easier because he lives here. And for Fitz in London, it will be a little bit more challenging to be involved in the life of this church. But there are God's churches where they live as well. We will still continue to make a covenant to them, even if though they live a little bit farther, to when they are here to tell them about Jesus Christ. Because we also made a promise, a covenant before God and before Derek and Katie and Kyle and Brooke. And we promised to encourage and support their families as they raise their children to know Jesus Christ. Our covenant today is for all the children who enter our church and participate in our programs. And I will promise you, there is nothing more important that a parent can do than to make sure their child knows Jesus Christ. Nothing is more important than that. That's why we make a covenant with them. That's why we promise to volunteer for Kids Zone and Vacation Bible School. And that means that we extend some grace to children during worship who are full of energy and excitement. It means that we encourage the parents of our church, inviting a child to sit with us during the service or walking them around the sanctuary before the service starts and getting to know the families who worship in this space with children. You know, I imagine all the chaos of Pentecost thousands of years ago. Maybe it felt a little bit like the parents felt a little chaos up here waiting for that baptism to happen. But I imagine all that chaos on Pentecost, and it reminds me of what it would be like welcoming every child into this sanctuary. It would be full of energy and enthusiasm, shouts and celebration, loud noises and confusion, but I think God would love it so much to see us welcome every single child. And as the prophet Joel reminds us, God pours out his spirit upon all flesh, not just children, but upon old men, I'm not going to point to anyone, and old women, and even slaves. The same spirit that will and has touched the heart and soul of Max and Fitz in London this morning is the same spirit that touched our hearts and souls as we learned of Jesus Christ, as we were baptized. God still speaks. Our God is a relentlessly, unceasingly self-communicative God. And there's something about this God that loves to address and be addressed by humanity. Every Sunday, when we gather for worship, we gather under this promise, our God speaks. Isn't this the remarkable, magnificent theme of the Pentecost story? That our sovereign God, Creator of all, would delight in speaking to us. Who are we that God would equip and invite us to be a part of his love story? And yet he calls us at any age and in any circumstance. He calls the youngest children and the men and women, well, who no longer share their age. This is what I wish we would be excited about as a church. And we are. We do wonderful things for the children of our church, for all ages we do. But I hope that we would continue to learn to be constantly joyful and always listening for the ways the Spirit is calling us to be the church. Because you know what, folks? What other religious God invites people to serve and lead and heal and worship with power, the same power as Jesus Christ? No other God but our God. Alleluia. Amen.